أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله All praise is due to Allah and may His peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم Brothers and sisters in Islam Brothers and sisters who may not be of the Muslim faith our brothers and sisters in humanity We would like to begin by greeting you with the Islamic universal greetings of Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu May the peace and blessings of God be upon you There has been a dichotomy between faith and reason, a common misconception that is within the religious community, where it is said that if you believe, you need not to look for any intellectual conviction in your beliefs. In fact, some even say that the challenge for the religious community is to believe without it making sense to it. Indeed, that is not what the earlier messengers taught. That is definitely not the teachings of Islam. And inshallah, God willing, we have this program to discuss this relationship between faith and reason. And we promise you, this is a program where you will be intellectually challenged, stimulated, tickled, and invited to think. And for this, we have invited an extremely well-qualified scholar for this session, for this program, a well-known scholar as well, a student and a teacher of Western philosophy, originally from the Sudan. He has taught in many different places, including Saudi Arabia, including the University of Khartoum, the Islamic Institute of Arabic and Islamic Sciences in Virginia. The author of many books and articles, traveled all over the world. Again, like I said, it is an invitation where you are really about to enjoy an intellectually stimulating program. It is such an honor and a privilege to have with us Dr. Ja'far Sheikh Idris. Dr. Ja'far, it is such an honor to have you with us, and I am very enthusiastic and extremely happy and looking forward to having spent this time with you. And I was wondering if we can begin by commenting on this idea that the religious community needs not to be intellectually convinced about their beliefs.
In fact, it is not only the religious community. There is what you described as a common misconception. It includes even non-religious people. In fact, some people say that they do not accept religion because religion is not something rational. And they describe themselves as being rational. And some of them think that it is only the soft-headed people who will accept religion. But in fact, a true religion, must be rational. Why should a religion be rational? Because reason is the only means by which we decide whether a certain claim is right or wrong. In our daily life, if someone makes a claim about anything, relating, say, to some of the sciences or to social sciences, or even in everyday life. If someone makes a claim, we don't immediately accept his claim. We will not be convinced if he says this is something that you have just to believe in, or there is a mystery in this. We don't accept this. Usually, we ask for evidence. And if this is so, then it should apply to religion also. Sure. And in fact, wise people don't accept the claim of someone who calls himself a prophet just because he comes and tells them, I am Abraham, I am sent from God, or I am Jesus, or I am Moses. And they must have asked them for evidence to show that they are. Okay. So this is the reason why a religion must be rational.
If that is the case, then it seems like the religious community has compromised on this topic. Any particular reason as to why that happened?
I think one reason is that some religions are really irrational. They make claims that are contradictory to reason. And they try to justify this by saying that, a difference between reason and religion, between science
and reason. These are two different realms. This is only a way of rationalizing their irrational beliefs. But unfortunately, some people who believe in rational religions like Islam, especially nowadays, have been influenced by this kind of propaganda. I hope I say against religion.
True.
Yes.
Sure. If I may be the devil's advocate, if I can use this word, what is wrong with saying, isn't the essence of religion to me is to show absolute obedience, unconditional obedience to God?
Yes.
And whether that makes sense to me or it does not, that really does not matter. I need is to just submit.
That is only after you have... why did you become religious the first time?
I must have been convinced.
Suppose someone is an atheist. Why does he accept the religious claim that there is God? Or if he is, he believes in God, why should he accept the claim that Muhammad is, even people at the time of the Prophet Muhammad say, or at the time of any other prophet, why did they accept them? They must have asked them for evidence. You don't, if you are a wise person, you don't just accept the claim of someone who tells you that this is. In fact, people, I'm not saying that this always happens. People can be very irrational. And I think this is the problem now of religion, whether it's Islamic religion or any other religion. For example, in the Islamic religion, there are many people now follow some sheikhs or so, and they follow them blindly. They don't use the reason. But a wise person will not do something like this.
Sure. No. I'm thinking now of the other extreme then. Mm. If we say that our acceptance of any specific belief must be based on reason, then are we saying that the reason is the final judge on, let's say, how far do we take this?
No, I think for a religion to be rational, it must fulfill certain conditions. And these are conditions that some of which we demand of scientific theories. And I think the same should apply to religion. First, it must not tell us something contradictory. It should not make a statement and then contradict that statement.
Sure.
This is one condition for any theory or any religion to be rational. Secondly, and I think inshallah, when we talk about Quran, I will show that, in fact, the Quran made this a criterion for deciding whether a book is from God or not. If there are contradictory statements in a book, then we say that it can't be from God. Secondly, it should not make factual mistakes. And you know now people, especially in the United States, people who write about some religions there, and they enumerate the places where their book made factual mistakes. It made statements which have been proven to be false by science. And of course, also, it should not condone or invite people to immoral acts.
Hmm.
These are criteria which people use in their everyday life. All people are born with a moral sense, so they don't accept the condoning of immoralities. And I think also the fourth condition is that a religion must be able to support its basic claims.
Mm-hmm.
Basic claims.
Mm-hmm.
If someone comes and says he's a prophet, then he must give us reason to support this, because this is a basic claim.
must be able to support its basic claims with evidence. This need not apply to secondary claims, the claims that are based on this. If he gives you evidence that he is a prophet, and this is a book from God, and then he says that God said this so and so, you don't, yeah, that's evidence. You don't need a direct evidence for every detail in the religion.
But the basic claim must be supported with that evidence.
Yes, with evidence.
I get
and this applies, by the way, to science also.
Mm-hmm.
If someone asks you, someone who never studied any geometry, for example, and he asks you to give him a direct proof about Pythagorean theory, you say no. You have to know first what is an angle, what is a line, what is so and so. Then, from that I can build my argument.
So create the firstly
now,
create that common ground. These
are the premises on which this is based.
I get the impression that you're saying that the first evidence must be a rational evidence.
Of course,
it must be intellectually accepted in order to take it any further from there.
Yes. But intellectually, and perhaps I don't want this to be misunderstood. Intellectually, in a broad sense, evidence. Let us say there must be evidence, and the evidence can be a pure reason, and it can be something material. Mm-hmm. For example, a miracle is an evidence.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm. So in the form of a miracle, which would be defined as a violation of natural law that is usually not done?
Uh-huh. Now, we don't like to say violation of natural law because...
Sheikh Ja'far, before you say that because, yeah. And I'm really eager to hear the answer for this, we would like to take a commercial quick break just to let you know about what other programs do we have, but do hold on to that thought and keep that in mind, and we shall return in just a few seconds.
Dear viewers, Hoda programs can be watched in the English section of the in-flight entertainment directory on board all Saudi airline flights, domestic and international. Sit back, relax, and enjoy watching Hoda's entertaining and enlightening shows on your trip. Hoda wishes you a safe and successful journey. Hoda, a light in every home.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. If you're joining us now, we're talking to Sheikh Ja'far Idris about this idea of reason and faith and how they intersect, at least as taught in Islam. And I think I got too excited before the break and I started giving my own definition of what a miracle is. And I attempted to describe it as a violation of natural law.
Mm. It does not. Muslim scholars don't like violation. That's why they call it in Arabic خرق العادة. I don't know how to translate خرق. A deviation from an exception to the law. But sometimes even the miracle can be explained within. Another law, we don't know.
That is not available to us at this point.
Yes. So it is not a violation of Sunan Allah, because Sunan is like what we call now natural laws. In Islam, they are called Sunan, the way Allah Subhanahu wa Taala makes things.
Sheikh, we're talking about this idea of a revealed religion must be a rational religion.
Yes.
And many have argued that the Quran is a book that invites people to literally think.
Да.
Any examples or?
In fact, I would like to say that this does not apply only to the Quran.
Mm-hmm.
Any religion that is a true revelation from God must be rational.
Mm.
And I have reasons for this, saying this. First, it is God who endowed us with reason. Mm? It is He who endowed us with reason. He knows how we behave rationally. So it is inconceivable that He would say something that is not compatible with the reason with which He endowed us. Yeah, this is the first thing. Secondly, it is God who created the empirical world.
Mm-hmm.
So He would not create the world in one way and then tell us about it in another way.
Sure.
He does not contradict Himself. So any mistake in a book, any factual mistake in a book, is itself a proof that at least that statement, if not the whole book,
is not correct.
It cannot be from God. Because God does not contradict Himself. So I think these are the main reasons why a religion must... And also this applies also to morality. Because it is God who endowed us also with the moral sense.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, religion is based on this. I usually say to ask my students, what is the first verse in the Quran? They say, "Iqra bismi rabbika," read in the name of your Lord, "Alladhi khalaq." Why should I read in His name? It says because who is "Alladhi khalaq." Now, this is a moral argument. If someone has no moral sense at all, he would say, well, suppose He created me, why should I read in His name?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So religion is based on whatever God endowed people with in their nature. It is based on this. That's why it is called the religion of fitra, the religion of original good human nature.
Mm-hmm.
That includes reason and moral sense, the acceptance of empirical facts and so on.
Sheikh, I just would like to take you back to a statement that you said.
Yeah.
When I said that the Quran is a book that invites people to think, you commented and you said, in fact, not only the Quran, but even previously revealed religions were along these lines.
No. Yes, I did.
That may come as a surprise, I would say, to some Muslims, as well as many of our brothers and sisters out there who may not be of the Muslim faith.
And I think my argument is itself a rational argument. I repeat, if the religion is from God, then God who endowed us with reason will not reveal to us a religion which contradicts that reason. So this is itself a rational argument.
And since Jesus and Moses and Abraham were all sent
by God, and in fact some of the arguments that we use as Muslims are arguments which the Quran says were expressed by earlier prophets, and the Quran praises people who have good, valid arguments. And this is considered to be one of the biggest, ni'am,
blessing
that Allah endows people with. So we can say and give this rational proof, but we cannot go into the details of those religions for a simple reason that we don't have their texts now in front of us. The only religion that we can refer to now is the Islamic religion. And through the Islamic religion, we can prove that those religions were rational in it. Because the Islamic religion tells us about those religions. Previous. So if we prove that Islam is a rational religion, it is an authentic religion, then this will be our primary source for
previous
religions.
Okay.
And I think that some people might say, why the Islamic religion? For many reasons. First, some non-scholars, non-Muslims, who are scholars of comparative religion, describe Islam as, or the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, as being the only historical prophet.
Meaning?
By historical prophet, they mean that there is a proof, historical proof, that this man existed. This man who called himself Muhammad existed. There is no historical proof
for these people,
independent
for these
of the Quran. Mm-hmm. There is no historical proof, even to prove and to show the existence of some of those prophets, let alone their books. Now, the many scholars now, and they say that even very religious Christians, they would not say that every word in the Bible is the word of God, because they know the history of the Bible and the translations through which it meant. So Jesus for them is not a historical prophet, and there is no evidence that any book other than the Quran is, let us say, just it, the book that the Prophet claimed to be revealed to him. That much, that there is a book that someone claimed was revealed to him by God, that much is accepted, even by non-Muslims. And as I said, this the Quran gives us information about earlier prophets, so we can depend on it in talking about earlier prophets. And the Prophet ﷺ said that he was sent to humanity at large. In fact, it's described in the Quran, as you know, as being a mercy to the world. رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. No prophet before him was claimed to be a universal prophet. So these are some of the reasons why we can use the religion of Islam to prove that all revealed religions were rational.
In their original form, when revealed to these messengers, be they in the form of the Torah to Moses, or the Gospel to Jesus, and forms to
even those prophets, before them.
No. So going back to the idea of not only the Quran, now that we stand corrected, not only the Quran is a book that invites people to think, but all revealed religions were actually an invitation to do that.
Yes.
And since God has endowed us with this faculty of reason, and it was given to us for a reason, and that would be to, I guess, reason with it. One thing that strikes me was the richness of the Quran in the different words that it uses to invite people to think.
Yes.
And I'm looking into, I think, one of the articles that you have written in Arabic. And there was an attempt to gather all these words, and it is very vast. Yet, I'm not sure if we do what the Quran says, by the way. But at least the invitation is really out there.
Yes, and I remember some of the words. Let us enumerate them and translate them into English.
Sure.
For example, يعقلون. They said that this book is for a people who are يعقلون. يعقلون means many things, understand, who do not contradict themselves. It is for people who are يتفكرون.
That's another word right there.
Yes, reflect.
To reflect.
It invites people to يتدبرون.
Okay.
okay. to reflect on what you read.
Right.
It is for people who look for the truth. This also is the sign of, and it does not tell them just accept. لو علم الله سبحانه وتعالى says إن يعلم الله في قلوبكم خيرا يؤتكم خيرا مما أخذ منكم. If Allah يعني see desire for the truth in your heart, then He will guide you. And there are many verses, as you know, which express the same thing. But what I have come to think about lately is that I ask myself, why does the Quran use what you might call commercial language? There is commerce, tijara. There is ribh, profit. There is khasara, loss. There is saving. There is ajr,
reward,
or wage.
Or wage, yes.
And so on. Do you know why? People are mostly rational when they come to business. And a person might not be rational at all in his religion or so, but when he comes to do business, he becomes very rational. So the Quran, as if the Quran is saying, be rational when it comes to religion, as you are rational when you are doing business.
Now that's what I call a rational argument right there. Yes. And with this, we would come to the conclusion of this part of our episode. We're glad that you have joined us. And inshallah, until we see you next time, my greetings as well as the greetings of Dr. Idris, who is our guest for this program, we say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, and so long.